cars down the day after Christmas. It was pretty much a miraculous event. Stephen came over and he touched Gay's head and he goes, "Are you guys feeling okay?" Yeah, we're feeling great. And we've actually been painting this week and tearing off wallpaper. Is that the devil or what? I mean, that is a lot of work. Fortunately, we have a steamer, and it came off pretty good. It only took 2 days instead of maybe five. Now our room doesn't look like it was something from Family Ties anymore, right? For those of you over probably, 35 know that joke. But I don't know. It's on Netflix. So how many watch Family Ties? Not Michael J. Fox's first, yeah. Okay. Next Saturday at 9 o'clock, we'll do it at 9 o'clock, we're going to be taking the decorations down. There's a great saying that I heard from a pastor who we all know and love, and not all, but a lot of us know and love. Pastor Ken said, "Many hands make light work." Now, he heard that from somewhere else. So as many as possible, please come and join us. And if we get these decorations down, then maybe we can have a moment to do what? We're not going to have lunch or anything, are we? No. Huh? We might. Oh, you never know. There we go. If we get it here at 9, though, we'll be done way before we'll need lunch. What? Brunch, maybe. Okay, there we go. That's not a guarantee. Don't come and just because you thought you were going to get food. Come because you want to serve. And now, speaking of serve, we can have an opportunity. You can have an opportunity to serve praying for our city. We have a 24/7 prayer that goes on in the city. There's probably about 30 organizations that are involved in that. We're one of them. We have the first Friday that has been designated to us as our day of prayer. And we pray for 24 hours. We start praying at 12 a.m. on that day, and we go until 11:59 of that day. And so we have our slots here that you can sign up for. If you'd like us to send you something in the mail, which will be this prayer sheet, which has the scripture supports, and I do have those today for those who need them, so they'll be up here on the pulpit. And if you want an email that you'd like to have, I send out emails of these sheets about a few days before you can pray and kind of remind you that it's our time to pray. Fill out this sheet. Just fill in your name, your phone number, check email, or write in your physical address. I was up past midnight. Okay, I'll just admit it. So, end up early. Praise the Lord. I look at this verse that the Lord's put on my heart, and I ask him, okay, how does this apply for today? And I've been asking him this now for about 4 days. Okay, Lord, how does this apply for today? And you know, I've done studies where you go and you try to look up, you know, the verses that you feel. Ooh. I have that ringtone or whatever. I thought, okay, was that me? Okay, went for my phone. I've been asking God, okay, Lord, what do you want to say in this? And I'm going to ask him right now as I pray. Lord, I just lift up your word, Lord. It's your word, God. We're your people. And Holy Spirit, you're building your church. You're building your church in a way that you're revealing through revelation the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who saved us, the one who's delivered us, the one who's coming back again. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use your word today to bring revelation of who we are and who you are and how you want to use us for your glory in these days. We just surrender our minds. We ask that if there's any distractions, anything that would keep us from hearing what you want to say today, or keep me from speaking what you want me to say today, Lord, that you would just eradicate that, remove that, Lord, and let the peace and the wisdom and the order of God be established in Jesus' name. Lord, we are your vessels. Holy Spirit, you dwell inside of us. It's so easy to forget about you. It's so easy to just go through our days and just go, well, that was another day, and not even realize that the Creator of creators lives inside of us because we've become children of God through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Help us realize, Lord, that you're there. You see us when we don't think you see us. You see the little things, and you see the big things. And God, you want us to be like your Son. That is your goal, that we would be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, that we would take on his divine nature. So Lord, I pray today, Holy Spirit, let your work be done. Let your kingdom come afresh in our lives today. Let your will be done in our lives afresh today. You have a design for our lives in heaven, Lord. And sometimes we get in the way down here. But Lord, I pray right now that we would come into alignment with your design and desire for our lives that's in heaven. That it would be established in this earthen vessel. It would be established in this life here. That I'd quit getting in the way, and I'd let you have your full work, your complete work in me, in us. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in this day, this new year, in a new way. I thank you, Lord, that there's going to be significant new discoveries of who you are in our lives. And Lord, how you can use us for your kingdom. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon your people right now. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I proclaim fruit in their lives. I declare destiny to be fulfilled in them. I declare that the works of the kingdom of God to be the fruit and the power of their lives. I pray that they be led by the Spirit of God into the deeper things of God, but also into the heart of God, and the nature of God, and the compassion of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have your perfect way. Thank you, Lord. Well, turn in your Bibles. This is easy for everyone. Genesis chapter 1. Pop the book open if you're not familiar. First chapter. I don't know why I'm waiting for people to turn. It's like there. Usually you say something like Zephaniah 2:10. It's like they're still looking by halfway through the service, you know. So, in the beginning, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and said, "It was good." And God divided the light from darkness, from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So the title of this message, if you would like to write down titles, is 2012, A Spiritual Odyssey. Now how these two tie together, we'll have to see. I'm very curious myself. Looking in the dictionary, the title for Odyssey, and the way to spell it, by the way, Jesse, I'll give that to you just in case you need it, O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y. Who would have thought that? Put two Y's in it. How many knew that? Two Y's in it? Man. I did not. Did you know it, Jay? Okay, good. He's an English teacher, so better know it. But an odyssey is this. It is a long series of wanderings or adventures, especially when filled with notable experiences, also hardships, etc. has some cinnamon. Cinnamon, yeah, you not cinnamon. Not cinnamon, but synonyms. Sorry, I got it right that time. Adventure, excursion, expedition, exploration, a pilgrimage, a quest, travels, trek, trip, and a voyage. I want to say that this title of this sermon came to me about 2 weeks ago. And sometimes the Lord just does that. Most of the time, you know, he gives me like either a verse or a title, and we kind of go from there. And it just dropped while we were at prayer. I think it might have been Wednesday prayer. It dropped in my spirit. 2012, A Spiritual Odyssey. And I thought, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. It's a play on words, 2001, you know, a space odyssey. So, you know, I just thought, you know, maybe my mind was just, you know, thinking some things. And I went and I looked up odyssey, and I said, wow, what are you saying here, Lord? Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell us? And I just sense in my spirit, from the Holy Spirit, that 2012 is going to be unlike any year we've seen before. Now, that's kind of sometimes a passe saying. A lot of people say that, you know, we're going to have, you know, brand new year, new discoveries, you know, and there are new inventions and everything. But I'm saying spiritually, 2012, a spiritual odyssey. Not just a physical odyssey, not just a life odyssey where, you know, we, you know, maybe get some new jobs or new experiences like that. I'm talking about a supernatural odyssey, a spiritual odyssey. I'm talking about a time that I believe that we, as the people of God, are going to experience some awe, some wow, some oh my goodness. And I'm looking here. I don't see them here today, so. But last Christmas Eve? No, Christmas Day. We ended up going to Juan's home. Now, for those of you. Is that Andy Griffith?
No, it's not.
I'm going to wait. To destroy the thing. That was a phone going off for those of you on the internet. What are they doing there? Someone's listening on the internet. It's like, I can't keep up with this. Neither can we, okay? So we're right there with you. So. Oh, okay. Exactly. But 2012, a spiritual odyssey. I believe that in my spirit, Juan, yes, thank you. I would have gotten there, but it would have taken, you know, another half hour because I would have recapped. No, we were at Juan Villalobos' home, and he invited us over there for Christmas, and which is, you know, unusual. I mean, we've been gone over to people's home for Christmas before. I'm not going to say that's unusual. But we were invited over there, Gay and myself, actually, you know, probably could have brought anybody we wanted, to talk to his family, who mostly don't know the Lord, about the real meaning of Christmas. And, you know, it actually took Gay and I back, because it's like, okay, it's Christmas Day, we have a, you know, family, how are we going to work this in, you know? Not that, you know, our desire wasn't there, it's just like, that's, how's this going to work out? And it worked out that we had brunch, and then around 6 o'clock, we ended up going over there. And by Juan's own words, his family is loud. They're loud. They're strong personalities. And he just said, you know. And his sister said, "Did you tell them?" You know. And so, you know, we went there, and they were great people. But it was just an amazing thing that on Christmas Day, the Spirit of God, the way that He's working today, allowed myself to preach. Literally, that's what happened. The anointing came over, and they're like listening and receiving, and their hearts are being touched. And I'm going, God, is this just a step of what we're going to be moving into? You know, because what we think of, you know, is like when I say supernatural odyssey, you guys probably think of yourselves like floating on clouds or walking through walls or, who knows if that's going to take place. But I believe that we're going to start being led by the Spirit of God in such a way. Because, I mean, with what happened, I didn't plan it out. I didn't say, okay, I need to go talk. I mean, the Holy Spirit just orchestrated it. It was an odyssey. And it had a significant outcome, I believe. And I believe we won't even see all the results of it for maybe years. Are you guys tracking with me? Okay, let's go back to Genesis here because I think this might help. So the earth was up without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, God created the heaven and the earth, right? And when God creates something, how is it created? Good, right? Something happened, though, to the earth. It was dark. That word dark can mean desolate. It can also mean destroyed. I mean, it was in a place of chaos. We think it was just maybe a blob that God created. Something happened that the earth became a place of chaos. We don't know between verse 1 and 2 what happens there, but that verbiage is that it was void, it was desolate, it needed something. Now I want you guys to get this today. There's almost a place in the body of Christ now. Now we're almost desolate. We're almost in this state. We're in a state of chaos. It's like we know about God and we know, but it's like we've kind of lost our way. You know, you read Acts chapter 1, and you go through Acts 28, and you go, "What happened?" Because I don't see you know Peter. Okay, I'm going to church on Sunday, and I sit in a pew, or I preach to a few, and then I live the whole week however I live it, and do whatever I want to do, and be whoever I want to be, and then I come back again the next week. No, you see Peter, you know, radical every single day. You see the disciples radical every single day. And you can say, well, that was the disciples. Right? Isn't it easy to say that? I mean, they were with Jesus. What about the ones who got saved after that, you know? And they were radical. See, we're called to be radical, but we're in a state of chaos. I hope you're getting this. We're in a state of without form and void. I mean, we have God, and the earth was created, and we've been created. We've been born again. We've experienced this new life, and it's something exciting. It's something vibrant. But then it starts to become just drab and dreary and monotonous, and I'm just calling it like it is. So I've lived it 30 years, and it's just like it drags on, and yes, it's a fight, but in my heart, there's like, no, there's got to be more, God. I know there's more. I've read about it in your word. I know it wasn't supposed to go where you know, I ended up over here after a fire of loving you. But guess what? Even though I'm in this state of chaos, the Holy Spirit's brooding. Holy Spirit's brooding over us. It's like a mother hen over its chicks. That word is like incubating. The Holy Spirit's incubating. And there's an incubation that's going on in our hearts. There's an incubation that's going on in our lives. There's a catalyst that's stirring something that's going beyond our natural abilities, our natural experience, our even natural minds. It's supernatural. It's God doing above and beyond all we can ask or think. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's hovering over the face of the waters. Waters represents people. A lot of times in the Bible, it talks about many waters, talks about people. I believe the Holy Spirit, even as it was hovering over the physical waters, is hovering over this earth in this chaotic state right now, ready to do something amazing. And what does the Holy Spirit allow to happen through the Word of God, Jesus? Then God said, "Let there be light." Ooh, think about this now. Are you guys getting this? The revelation that's coming? We are about to become the light of the world like never before. The Holy Spirit is hovering over us. Holy Spirit's brooding inside of us. Holy Spirit's making it so that we don't even like this life anymore. We're saying no to the things of the world because they have no joy. They have no fulfillment anymore. He's brooding. He's stirring. He's shaking things. Do you feel it? Even now, the Holy Spirit's dropping it on many people right now and giving them revelation that they're to rise up. rise up like out of the grave when Lazarus was called. They're going to shake off the grave clothes. They're going to rip off those things that have tied them up. And they're going to literally stand and be testimonies of Jesus' word alive in this earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. The Holy Spirit is doing a work beyond works. The Holy Spirit is doing much more than he's done in 2011 and 2012. Expect him to move you to places and take you places and show you things and have your heart alive to the word of God like never before. If you start reading your word now, start saying, by faith, I'm believing, Lord, that you're doing something in this earth. Let your word speak to me as it's designed to speak to me. Not as some kind of ritual I go through to experience some kind of, you know, spiritual calisthenic, but literally let it be life to my soul. Let it be life to my spirit. Let it be something that transforms me into the very likeness of Christ as it's designed to do. Take me from this life of monotony and stress to a place of that life abundantly that you've promised. Let 2012 be odyssey after odyssey, journey after journey, experience after experience. Not for my edification only. Yes, it will do that. It'll build us up. It'll cause us to become, I guess you could say, you know, great people in God. But it's not about that. It's not even about acquiring any kind of, you know, spiritual identity. It's about letting Jesus have his full glory on the earth. That's what he wants. I tell you, the any glitz and glamour of the pulpit, those days are going away. Because it's going to be life-threatening to be behind a pulpit eventually. So glitz and glamour is not what it's going to be about. It's going to be about speaking the word in truth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, knowing that God's got you. And you're not doing it for a popularity contest. You're doing it because he's called you to do it. You speak the word of God. You speak the truths of his word. You speak the things that will transform people's hearts. Not because you're a Christian, but because it's Christ in you. You can't help but do it. But this does not come from mental ascension. This does not come from just deciding to do this. This has to be an inner work. And we have to be ready to die to our own agendas. We have to be ready to die to our own plans, our own ways, our own schemes. We just have to say, I am in chaos. I'm in a void. I'm in a desolate state. Holy Spirit, do your work. Word of God, rise up inside of me. Holy Spirit, activate it and let it bring forth the light. And if you notice, what happens to the light? It is separated from the darkness. It's not connected anymore. How many of you have been connected to the darkness for a lot of us for too long, where we're so, you know, it's like a magnet drawing us together. No, the Holy Spirit's about to do a work. It's going to separate us from the darkness. We will stand bold and shining strong because of his grace. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And because of the hour that we live in. We live in, as I say, you'd probably think, this is all you can say, historical, I mean, really end of time times. These are last days, but these are the last of the last days we're coming up to. And God is doing a work that goes beyond any of man's ability. I'm a prime example, folks. I'm too stupid to know this stuff. I'm just telling you as it is. I have not gone to Bible college. I've not been trained. I get a little bit of things, you know, through the years of reading the word and reading other, but that right there, I've never heard before. And I didn't know what it was going to be. I'm saying, Lord, I'm really kind of nervous here about what you're, you know, what you're wanting me to do. I see it now. It's so clear that the Holy Spirit is literally hovering over us. He's so active. I mean, are you guys sensing him during the day? I mean, are you sensing the drawing? Are you sensing, it's like a longing. It's like a, I can't describe it. It reminds me of like when I was a kid and I would get excited when my dad was going to come home. It's like something deep inside that you can't control. It's God stirring us. It's the Holy Spirit working. But he's not done. He's just brooding right now. He's just mixing things up. He's just kind of hovering. And in that hovering state, we're picking up God working stronger. We're picking up God's influence in our lives even more. But he wants to do something that will go beyond what we have seen up to this point. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Now, in no way do I want to make it sound like nothing has happened up to this point, because I'm standing here 30 years of living a life of faith, and there have been great teachers, and there have been people that have given us revelation, knowledge, and God has taken us to this point. But this point, we've been taken to this point for a reason. We haven't been just taken to this point because we've just lived a life. We have been called for this time. We have been destined for this time. It's like Peter, he was born to his parents at that time. He was a fisherman at that time for a particular reason. He had a brother and he had friends who were other fishermen, and they had been prepared for that moment. You may say, well, no, it's just because Jesus worked with them. No, they had been prepared for that moment. As worldly as he thought he was, he had been prepared by God to be the one who would stand on that day and give the message that caused 3,000 to get saved. That may mess with some people's doctrine, but listen. He from his mother's womb, just as Jeremiah, just as all the other prophets, had been called, set apart for a day. And you're saying, well, Pastor Mike, you're starting to sound pretty, you know, like bold and pretty, you know, self-confident, saying that we have been picked for a day. We have been picked for a day. This day, this hour, this moment, this time, this season. This kairos, as the Greek word says, it means a specific divine time, a divine moment. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. In the fullness of time, other evangelists and prophets have come. But as a body of believers, it's not about just one anymore. It's not about just like a Billy Graham who goes from city to city. Yes, Billy Graham did great works of God. But the days of just Billy Grahams are over. It's not too much longer. The days of the mega churches is going to be threatened. Because God is not asking for fair weather children. He's asking for children who will weather the storm. Read the parables of Jesus. Read the stories of Jesus. It wasn't about fair weather Christianity. It was the ones who built their lives. Not just a single event on the rock. Not just, my children are sick, I'm crying out to God. Not just that, no. They build their entire lives on the rock. Not just one event, not just a few years. Their entire being is on the rock. See, that's what it took when they were persecuted with their lives. Paul and Peter are very clear. You were called to persecution. You were called to tribulation. You don't hear that preached very often, but that's what they were called to. And we think, well, that will never happen to us. We're in the United States. think again. The Bible is very clear. In the last days, perilous times are going to come. And we can either be in a boat of safety, which is Christ, or we can be out in the storm, fending for ourselves. I choose the boat. I choose the rock. I choose the one that's a solid foundation. Anybody else with me? Where was I again? Okay. I got it. Mark 16, verse 20. And they, having gone forth, did preach everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the signs following. This is talking about the disciples. After they were given a mandate by God about, you know, laying hands on the sick and they would recover, and picking up serpents and not getting bit and speaking with new tongues and laying hands or casting out demons. Then it says here, the Lord then indeed, after speaking to them in verse 19 to them, was received up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they, having gone forth, did preach everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the signs following. And we've seen that. We've seen the Holy Spirit come and establish things in our lives and others' lives. We've seen him do healing works. We've seen him do all kinds of things. But I think there was a greater work that was going on here. The kind of greater works that Jesus talked about. And greater works than these are you going to do because I go to the Father. I guess all I'm saying today is, let's just have our hearts open to what God wants to do. Let's, with expectancy, do it. See, it's one thing for me to come here and say, okay, I want you to give your entire being to God and just sell everything you have, you know, give it to the poor and go and follow Jesus, and you're going to have, you know, eternal riches in heaven, which is all true. But there's also a life here. Because when he told the one rich man, you do all that and you come follow me, he was going to experience the walk with Jesus. Which gets sold short a lot. But the walk with Jesus is a glorious walk. It's a walk that once you start, you won't want to quit. Once you truly start walking with Jesus, you won't want to quit. You want to stay with the Master. You will be like his disciples, that when he says hard things, you'll go, nowhere else to go that has eternal life, Lord. When you deal with hard things in life, you say, you know what, Lord? I don't know why it happened. I don't know where it came from. And I know you allowed it, but I'm with you. Because you have life. But there's another reason now to do all of that. It's going to be walking in the fullness of the Spirit, allowing your life to be used for this supernatural odyssey that's coming, this spiritual odyssey that we're going to walk into as God's people. And you say, how do you know this, Pastor? I just know it. See, last year I knew some things. God, I felt them in my heart, and last year, I experienced things in God that I hadn't ever experienced before. Anybody else? A new dimension of God, a new outpouring of His Spirit, a new love for the Lord. I'm telling you, just like that, the way I was feeling, I'm telling you, this year, it's going to blow it away. And how many are ready to have God blow you away? Nick text and Nanette text Gay and I, and it was just out of the blue. But I think he was picking up a tune. He's saying, what was it? I think you said, Pastor, this year God's going to do amazing things. I think you said in our church. Is that what you said? And you just sense that in your spirit. How many else are sensing that? Not just in our church, but I mean, our church represents the family of God here. In the family of God here. Not in our church building, you know. I want to get away from that. Because really, the church is when you guys go and sit down in your homes. The church is when you guys go to work. The church is where you are. With that, I want you to watch a clip. It's simple. We've made it so complicated. We've made it about how many classes you can go to be used by God. And I was, you know, part of that at one time. And it's good to make sure that people know the truth. Because when they can carry the truth, it will help others become free. But we can also, put all these constraints on someone so they can't even really be who God's called them to be. And I like that, you know, shows a, you know, I think it was like a baker there. Being, you know, a pastor. What a concept. But it's true. Pastors weren't supposed to just sit behind pulpits and bark at people. Sorry. That's what we do sometimes. How many of them have been barked at before? Me included. Pastors are supposed to be people in others' lives that help show them how to walk with God. That take their hand when life gets difficult and say, let's pray about this situation and let's see how much God can get you through this. Like he's gotten me through it before. It's not about, you know, getting a whole bunch of individuals to follow your way. It's about waking people up to his way. That's all it is. And saying, let's walk together and see if we can truly experience what God wants us to experience. Evangelists aren't people who always just fill stadiums. They're teachers who, through the light of the gospel, maybe not even saying a word, literally show the character of Christ and evangelize hearts. You know, they're lawyers, doctors, musicians, receptionists. They're everywhere. But we have put them in a box. And because of that, we exclude ourselves from that box. And we opt out. Well, let the evangelist do it. No, I believe through the Spirit of God, we can carry all the gifts of the Spirit. We can be apostles. We can be prophets. We can be evangelists. We can be teachers. Maybe not that exact office, that specific, but the Holy Spirit can use us in those elements. But it doesn't work so well in church. You know? If you think what church has kind of become, it's almost become like a place where all the doctors go to heal people. But there's nobody sick there. Can you imagine that? If all the doctors just went to a place each week and they got together and they talked about how much they can make a difference with their surgery skills, how much they can make a difference with the medicine that they've learned, and they know how to apply the right kind of medicine. They talk about all the things that they need to do to be great doctors. And then they go home during the week and hope that somebody comes in that meeting that they can then try to do what they talk about. I've just described church. Because we're not sick. Now, some may be here today and don't know the Lord. You can change that right now. You can say, you know what? If this crazy preacher is right, I want to receive Jesus into my life and have this new life, have a radical lifestyle that abandons the old and embraces the new. Talk about embracing 2012 the right way. But those of us who are the doctors, and we are all called to be doctors. We're not just assistant technicians. We're all called to be the ones that carry the vaccine. And the vaccine for sin is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We're not just supposed to gather together and look at each other and say, wow, you've got a nice, you know, PhD behind your name. You've got a nice, you know, understanding of this type of, you know, procedure, and it never gets used. Would that not be the biggest farce you'd ever seen if that's what doctors did? There'd be a lot of sick people dying, wouldn't there? And guess what? There's a lot of sick people dying and going to hell spiritually. But the day is done. I'm telling you, we're moving into a new 2012, a spiritual odyssey where God is going to do above and beyond all we've ever thought or thought. Can you agree with me? Then stand. This is not about just getting hyped up. This is about asking the Holy Spirit to do a work in us. And if you're agreeing with what I'm saying, I'm not even going to open my eyes. I just ask you to come up here and stand with me. And let's agree together in faith that 2012 is going to be a time that God uses us like He's never used us before. That we will be on Christmas Day type experiences in homes preaching and wondering, how did this happen? God is going to do what He needs to do to reach who He needs to reach. Lord, we just come to You right now, God, as the people of God, saying we need You. We cannot do this on our own. We need You, Lord. We need You, Lord, to fill our hearts. We need You, Lord, to remove our bad thinking. We need You, Lord, to awaken us to what You want to do in this day through our lives, through our families, through this house of believers. God, we just commit to You, Lord. We commit to Your ways. We commit to Your plans for our lives. And we say, use us for Your glory. However You choose to use us for Your glory. Help us, Lord, to reach those lost and dying ones. Help us not to be like the doctors who don't give out what they've been given. Lord, we have received freely abundant life. We have received freely the peace of God when our lives were full of storm and torment. And Lord, let us give that away freely. Let us look for whoever we can to give that away freely to. I pray for each and every believer standing up with me here right now, God. And I pray that You would fill them to overflowing, Holy Spirit. That joy overflowing, peace overflowing, love overflowing would be their calling card. That when there's crisis, they're called in. When it's a specialist procedure, God, they're called in because they know You. They hear You. They have the wisdom of God. They know how to do the procedure. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You did not leave us abandoned on our own to figure this out. But You, Holy Spirit, are with us, leading us and guiding us in all truth. Keep doing Your work. Keep brooding over us. Until we are the light of the world that You've called us to be. Not dim bulbs hidden in some back dark room. Lord, the light. Like lighthouses laid out throughout this city that people are drawn to. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're real and we're going to experience real faith because you love us. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where do we go from here? Why don't you give each other a hug? Yeah. Bless you, Frank.
What a wonderful day today.